Hallelujah, our Lord God Almighty reigns. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. The scripture for our meditation and growth is always on Sundays this Easter season from 1 John. We got a little series going on here. Today we get into chapter 5, but I want to skip down a few verses to the end of what we read where it says, here it is again, "For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree." In Christ's name. The little sermon series I created on short notice is titled "From the Elder." He may have been the youngest disciple. Strong tradition said he lived to be the oldest, maybe 80, 90 years old at the end of that first century. And that's probably why he calls himself in 2 John and 3 John the Elder. He may have been the only one left, really, who was an eyewitness to Jesus and his visible time here on earth. And that's where I get the general weekly title for this series, Manifest. John opens this letter, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the Word. That's his title for the Christ. The Word of life, the life was made manifest. And he emphasizes that. It's important that the Savior and his salvation is real, so much real. It is audible and visible and tangible. Today I'll even emphasize tasteable. And indeed, I think today is the section where that becomes most clear, most concrete. Today's title, that Christ is manifest by Spirit and water and blood, John says. But before I get to that little section at the end, I do want to mention a few things from the opening five verses, not really germane to the main point of the sermon, but there's so much here. I've been emphasizing vocabulary that the Apostle John seemed to treasure. He emphasizes, repeats it a lot in his gospel and these letters and the book of Revelation. He opens this chapter, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God." Now we had that first part emphasized previous weeks, how the content of who Jesus is crucial. Chapter 4, we had that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. That he's the very eternal Son of God, co-equal with the Father and the Spirit in the Trinity. But in time and in the womb of Mary, he came in the flesh. It's the God-man. And you could add in here, he says he's the Christ. That means anointed one, the one in the Old Testament predicted, fulfilled now, is the coming of the Savior, the appointed one, indeed, who did the salvation you need. Peter summarized it with the household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. He went around doing good, was killed, was raised from the dead. Everyone who believes in his name gets forgiveness of sins. So you add all that in. John also in this section emphasizes another word he uses a lot, commandment, commandments. He got that from Jesus, lying close to him the night before he died. He heard Jesus say, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Commandments and love go hand in hand. And he emphasizes this here. "By this we know the love that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. But the next line is interesting. Not really a repeated phrase of John's, but I want to stress it. His commandments are not burdensome. I hope you know this in your heart. It is the characteristic of Christians. I use the phrase sometimes. It's not that you gotta. No, you getta. You get to follow Christ. You know His obedience for you, that all your righteousness is accomplished. You've got it by Jesus. So out of thankfulness, you want to follow Him and obey. There is one other thing that is repeated by John in this opening section. John says, "This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." That comes up a lot in the revelation he was granted, the last book of the Bible. Overcoming, victory. You know, I've shared before, the others too, the word in Greek, you know it by the tennis shoe and other apparel. Nike, or probably in Greek, I guess, Nike or Nike. Victory. You've got it. And not just in this life, definitely not just with sports accomplishments. But ultimately, overcome, that's the same root word there, have a victory over the world, all the worldly stuff that bothers you, your own sin, you got a victory in the forgiveness of Christ. Satan and his lies, you got a victory over him. And again, this world itself with all its temptations and terrors, you got a victory. You have faith, John says here, trusting in Jesus. He's done it all for you. But the section we've got is this section that does talk about the Spirit and the water and the blood testifying. I need to mention, yes, as part of the sermon, something technical I won't cover. If you got questions, contact me. John says here in verse 7 and 8, there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood. If you're looking at a King James version of the Bible, you won't see that there. The King James has the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit. And I will just share in summary here, lest anybody be confused. Some folks love the King James. I like it too. A little archaic, but a good, accurate translation. Not here. In fact, the Greek texts that they used were spurious and erroneous. Almost all scholars agree. That phrase was in Latin versions, and they wanted to get it into the Greek text used for the King James, but Erasmus and others back in the 16th century said, I need to see it in a Greek manuscript. And suddenly one appeared in Spain, I think it was. It's not in the original. This is the original. This is what Luther had in his German translation of the same time. The Spirit and the water and the blood testify. Agree. What does this mean, we Lutherans ask in the catechism? I think one primary reference would be what's depicted there. We know from John, and only John. He was there at the cross. John 19, when Jesus' side was pierced by the spear to make sure he really was dead. Here's the account, John 19. One of the soldiers who was there pierced his side with a spear. There you see it. And at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it bore witness. He talks about himself in the third person here. His testimony is true. He knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. John was there to see that as evidence of Christ's death. The body fluids, the water, the blood came out. And that's a primary reference here, that Jesus came by not only water, maybe the waters of birth, but water and blood. He lived and died for you manifestly, right? But there's got to be more here. Because the Spirit is mentioned. And John said in his gospel, he did this so that you may believe. He wants you to have these things too for your faith. The Spirit. The Spirit, John, first of all, in this text tells us, is the truth. So the sharing of God's truth is by and of, and we could say even is, his Spirit. Indeed, the Bible. I quoted last week, because it applied then to John 6:63. Jesus said, "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." The words of our Savior are spirit. This is where we find the Spirit. I know, especially maybe with some circles of American Christianity elsewhere in the world, the search for the Spirit is in some things ethereal or mystical, and surely the Spirit can come in those ways, but by promise, it's much more concrete. It's sitting on the pulpit here today. The words, the ink on the page, or the sound waves in your ear, or the vibrations of your larynx as you sing. That's the Spirit working through the word of truth. Jesus called them life. And you have that Spirit here. It testifies that Jesus is your Savior. But also in ways, maybe more tangible and concrete, it is the Spirit and the water that testifies. And surely, that's got to mean at least in part, if not first, baptism. You want some verses today? That baptism testifies? Galatians 3:37. I think that might be a typo. I think it's 27. Galatians 3:27. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You want to see Christ in your life? Being clothed in Christ? You go to your baptism. Paul told this to people who were having issues finding Christ in their relationships. Go to your baptism. We often quote, I think I may have recently, Romans 6. You want to know if you're connected to Christ? Paul writes, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. We too walk in newness of life, buried with baptism. You're connected to his death and resurrection. Baptism is the water you have, making Christ manifest in your life. Celebrate your baptism day, dear friend. Or see me if you don't know it. We'll pick one appropriate. Start every day with that testimony. I've been baptized. And finally, as we do next week, receive the witness of his blood. Yes, John saw it flow from his body on the cross, but you see it by faith too. The Lord's Supper. Jesus took bread, it is bread, gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Took wine and gave it and said, this is my blood. And that testifies to you that he's your Savior, forgiveness, life, and salvation. In fact, Matthew's version of the verba, we call them, the words of institution, Christ instituting his meal, have the phrase that Jesus said, this is the blood of the New Testament. Almost sounds like testimony, right? His evidence to you and promise that he is your Savior. I have in the sermon notes on the back of the bulletin also 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's a testimony as we gather next week. As often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. It's a testimony even through you of Christ's death and resurrection, his salvation. Spirit, water, blood. That's how Jesus is manifest. Indeed, the word and the sacraments. Some of you in my Bible studies have heard me say, I know I've shared it before, how the forerunner of Jesus, people often called John the Baptist. I call something else, often I'll say he's John the Baptizer so people don't think he's Southern Baptist like those here in Texas. And then I joke, I don't think he was Baptist. He was more Lutheran, if you ask me. Why? Because John preached law and gospel. We Lutherans emphasize and see as the two main teachings of the Bible. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. And he proclaimed God's word and baptized, the word in sacraments. The other John today, too, I think is Lutheran. That's an anachronism, of course. Those titles, Lutheran and Baptist, were used a millennia and a half later. But John does emphasize here what we see in Scripture, that Jesus is manifest amongst us there, in this word and in these sacraments. Oh, he can show himself in other ways in your life, but there it's guaranteed. I want to recommend a book to you. If you want to dig into this, some of you may have it. It's by Eugene Veith, called The Spirituality of the Cross. The Spirituality of the Cross. If you don't catch it here, see me afterwards and I'll point you to it. I'm sure you can find it on Amazon. And he talks about this distinctive view of Scripture, and I believe we emphasize in our church, that God comes to us through means, visible, audible, indeed even tastable, tangible. He's got a whole chapter on the means of grace here. I won't quote. But instead I will indulge myself, if not you, with the lyrics of a hymn we sang at 8:30. The style of music, more Baroque and classical, doesn't work in this service. But there is a hymn in our hymnal, hymn 597, that's based on this very text, written by a Lutheran pastor still with us in Michigan, Stephen Stark, and by a organist who at least used to be Lutheran. I think he may still be if he's still with us, Jeffrey Blersch. It's called Water, Blood, and Spirit Crying. I do have it on my phone, just the intro. You can hear the trumpet. Is it coming across? It's a beautiful tune for those that like that style of music. And the words are water, blood, and spirit crying by their witness, testifying to the one whose death-defying life has come with life for all. Then he talks about baptism. In a watery grave are buried all our sins that Jesus carried. Christ, the ark of life, has ferried us across death's raging flood. Then he talks about communion. Dark the way, yet Christ precedes us past the scowl of death. He leads us, spreads a table where he feeds us with his body and his blood. Verse 4 shivers my spine. Though around us death is seething, God, his two-edged sword unsheathing, by his Spirit life is breathing. Through the living, active word, Spirit, water, blood entreating, working faith and its completing in the one whose death defeating life has come with life for all. Our Savior, his salvation indeed manifests by Spirit, water, blood. Amen.